move sharing. Wasn't that inspiring? Just to hear about all the different stuff going on, I'm definitely encouraged. Last week, we got to have a guest speaker come through, TJ Parisi. Did you guys enjoy TJ? You know, I thought it was very encouraging having him here to speak to us. He's such a good friend of mine. And that was a great midweek together, talking about Acts chapter 15 and talking about God's grace as well as God's unity in his church. Amen? So that was awesome. And, you know, next is the rest of Acts chapter 15 and then the beginning of Acts chapter 16. However, we're going to move that section to next Wednesday and kind of jump ahead a little bit and cover the rest of chapter 16 tonight and then go back a little bit next week. Is that okay? Cool. So we're studying out the book of Acts. And tonight we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to the end of the chapter. Sound good? What I want to mainly focus on tonight, now there's a lot, this is a lot of scriptures and there's a lot that you can learn from it. But what I want to mainly focus on tonight is God's call for all of us to follow God's plan with our lives. Right? We have free will. We can choose what we do with our lives. And we know God has a plan for our lives. And I want to encourage us all to leave here tonight being a people who are committed to following what God's plans for our life is. Does that make sense? You know, God's plans prevail for his people. You know, if you decide that you're going to follow God's plans, then God's plans is what you get. Right? You know, something that encouraged me once is from Jeremiah chapter 29, right? In verse 13, it says that if you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him, right? And that's a promise right there. That's a guarantee. You know, I don't know if you guys remember growing up, but you would have like commercials for something and it would be like, you could win all of this, enter the sweepstakes. And then it would say, many will enter, few will win. So it's like, you can enter and you can enter with all of your heart, but you might not get picked. You probably won't. Only few will win. But the Bible says that anyone who seeks God with all of their heart will find God's plans for their life. Not just few, but anyone who seeks him. Isn't that encouraging? So we want God's plans for our lives. Why do we want God's plans for our life? Because they're good plans, right? If somebody said, hey, I have plans for you. And you're like, well, what are they? And you found out it was plans to harm you and plans to ruin your life. You'd be like, I want nothing to do with that. But when you ask God, well, God, what are your plans for my life? God has great plans for your life, right? Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, right? God has great plans for us. You know, another scripture that I think is so encouraging is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. Just listen to this verse right here. Let's get there. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. How encouraging is that? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, God has great plans for our lives. You know, it would be one thing. It's a lot of work to plan. If you said, hey, can you just plan a really great day for this person? Wouldn't that be a little, that would take some effort, right? You know, can you plan a great year for this person? You know, hey, could you plan a great life for this person? It would be challenging, but God has prepared not just a great life, but a great eternity for us. Isn't that encouraging? You know, God didn't just spit you out and just go, all right, you know, figure it out, you know? God created you intentionally and then had a plan for your life. And he has a great plan for your life, a plan that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind could conceive. And I think a lot of that has to do with our life here as we follow Jesus, but most of that has to do with even our eternity in heaven and being able to spend that time with God. So what's encouraging is for us that even if our life here seems like, well, this doesn't seem like that great of plans, as a Christian, you know that at the end of God's plan is an eternity in heaven. So even if the plans here seem challenging, the big picture plan is the best plan. So that's something that we can always have to hold on to. You know, I'm going to get back to this map in a minute right here. But there was a brother coming up with some good plans this past week. You know, Matt Rupert put together some plans to marry this girl, Brielle. I can't believe I'm even like saying that right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just gave it away. But, you know, but she knows. She said yes. This is not a secret anymore. You know, Matt called me and he's like, here's what I'm going to do. And he goes through his plans for the day and he's excited about these plans. And you know, this is all part of God's plan for their life and God's plans to prosper them. They would not have this relationship if they did not seek God with all of their heart. You know, and God is prospering them in that. And that's so encouraging to me. You know, you see it so much in both of their lives. You see it in Brielle's life. You know, if you go back to before she was proposed to yesterday and you look at her Facebook page, you see Brielle as someone who is seeking God with her whole heart. She's writing on there, God is my forever Valentine. You know, and God's great plans are being revealed for Brielle because she's seeking God with her whole heart. You know, and that's to be commended and applauded for sure. And I think it's something we could all look up for. And that's true about Matt as well. But super encouraging. He just didn't make a post like that yesterday. No, but they both sought God with all of their hearts. So encouraging. Now, you know, what's really encouraging is that as long as we're sticking to following God's plans, then even if it faces opposition, even if it gets challenging, there is nothing that can stop it. You can choose to turn your back on God's plans and go a different road. And we'll look at a scripture and talk about that in a little bit. So you could choose, God, this is getting tough, so I'm not going to keep going your way. Or God, I don't like the direction you're taking my life in, so I'm going to go in a different way. You could choose that. But if you decide, God, no matter how tough this gets or no matter how much opposition I face, I'm sticking with your plan, then God's plan for your life will win out. If you stick with it. Does that make sense? You know, I was trying to throw off Matt's plans yesterday a little bit. Was this yesterday?
Yes.
This is yesterday. All right. I'm like, I'm very tired. So, you know, I like to seize the opportunity, you know? And so yesterday, Matt goes through his plans with me. And part of that was, you know, I was afraid to tell Brielle's mom about it because they were mentioning that she just could so easily spill the beans if she knows, then Brielle's probably going to find out. So I remember that Matt said that. And then we're talking an hour later or so, and we're on the phone, and I'm like, you know, Matt, I don't want you to get all worried about this or whatever, but Chelsea just got a text from Brielle saying, you know, that she just heard some really interesting stuff about tonight from her mom, and she really wants to talk to her about it. So do you want Chelsea to talk to Brielle? Should she ignore it? And Matt's just like, oh, my gosh. And his mom, he's like, she knows. And he's just, and then I just started laughing. I was like, dude, I'm just kidding. And he's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. You know, and he's bugging out. He's like, I really thought she knew and all this stuff. And I'm like, I was like, dude, I'm sorry, man. I just had to mess with you. I was like, you know, what would be really funny is if I got you again with that. And he like laughed and then I hang up the phone or whatever. And then a couple hours later, I'm like, I'm going to try to get him again. So I call up Matt, and I'm talking to him, and was the first one with her mom, or was that the second
first
one?
Was the mom. Second one was
the third one was the text. What was the second one? Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, the first one I think was about her mom, but somebody else on here. So the second one was the one where I was like, look, Brielle's texting Chelsea. She really wants to talk today. She said she heard something about tonight. And so Matt's on the phone with me again, and he just gets quiet. And he's like, Rob, this is why you don't mess with people. Because then it really happens. And I'm like, dude, I know. I'm so sorry about before. And he's like, ah. He's like, well, there's so many moving parts right now. I mean, she could have heard anything really. But, you know, and he's like thinking it through and he's like, I guess I'll just have to see, you know, and then I just start laughing again. I'm like, dude, I'm kidding again. She knows nothing, you know, and he's like, are you kidding me? And he's bugging out on the phone with me and I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. And I'm actually starting to feel a little bit guilty. And then I apologize and then I get off the phone. And then a couple hours later, I'm thinking, I'm like, if I got him again, that would just be epic. So I go in my phone and I change Chelsea's number to Brielle Chamberlain. and I changed the contact picture for Chelsea to a picture of Brielle. And then I have Chelsea text me. So it took like a minute. So I had Chelsea text me, "Hey Rob, do you have time to talk today? It's kind of important." And I wrote back, "Hey, I'd love to, but I'm pretty busy today. Can I call you tomorrow?" "Well, it has to do with Matt's plans for later today." "Got ya. Can I call you in a couple minutes?" So I real quick, I upload this to my computer quick, and I Photoshop the number to be Brielle's number instead of Chelsea's, because it had Chelsea's number. Guys, this only took like a minute, all right? I can do this stuff quick. So, in my all productiveness. So then I take a screen, so I take the screenshot of this and I send it to Matt, and then I immediately call him. And I'm like, and he doesn't answer. I call him again. I'm like, "Dude, did you see the screenshot I sent you?" He's like, "No, let me check." And he pulls it up and he gets to his phone. He's like, "All right, so you changed Chelsea's number to Brielle and changed the contact picture and texted yourself." And I was like, "Honestly, that would have been very clever." I was like, "But how does that explain that it's Brielle's number, not Chelsea's underneath the contact?" And he's like, and gets all quiet. And then I just couldn't hold it anymore. I just start cracking up. And I'm like, "Dude." And he's like, "Rob, I'm not gonna lie with you. I really was starting to believe it again." And so I was just so happy, you know? And then I also was feeling a lot of guilt, but I think it was good for you. And I think it was a good opportunity to seize. But, you know, there was me just trying to get in there and thwart Matt's plans a little bit. But as much as I was doing that, nothing, even if, would you have still asked her, even if she did, if one of those was true?
Yeah.
So as much as, look, that was Matt's plan, and me trying to mess with it was not going to stop that. That was his concrete plan that he was set with no matter what, right? And that's God's plans as long as we stick to them. As other people could come along and try to be like, "Hey, look, it's not going to work out, you know? Or hey, look, you should give in a little bit. Or hey, you should go this route instead, not what God has planned," right? But we got to be like, "No, this is God's plans for my life. I'm sticking with it," right? Even if it's not good news, even if it stresses us out, even if it's like, "No, this is not what I wanted, but this is the plan, so I got to stick with it." Because this is God's plan for my life, and God's plan is the best plan for my life. Does that make sense? You know, I want to read Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10 here. And what we're going to see is that Paul and his companions were devoted to not following their plans, although they had plans, but they were devoted to following God's plans at the end of the day. And that's what we need to be as well, as people that have plans, but at the end of the day, it's really God's plans that we're focused on following. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Acts 16, verse 6. So, you know, they're on their second missionary trip now, going around planting churches. And, you know, in what we're reading tonight, they end up planting a church in the city of Philippi, which is where the letter to the church, the letter Philippians, is written to later on, right? The disciples that they end up helping become Christians there. So this is how they wind up there, and then we'll look at some things that happened during their time there. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." You know, we'll keep reading in a little bit here. But what you see in Paul and what you see in his companions is that they had some ambitious spiritual plans that they were focused on and living out. But when it became clear that God's plan was in a different direction, they did not hesitate to reroute and to go that way instead. At once they said, "Okay, we were going to go and head up into Asia, this part, but instead we're going to go to Macedonia because God is making it clear that is where he wants us to go instead." You know, and going over west over to Macedonia, It involved them walking by foot extra days out of their way. It's not like this was convenient, you know? But, you know, whether it's convenient or not, we need to be focused on following God's plans. And then God's plans will prevail, and God's plans are better than our plans. So Paul could trust that, hey, if I go over to Macedonia, that even though that's not what I originally planned, and even though there's some inconvenience with that, I can trust that that's where God wants me to go, and therefore that's where it's better to go than if I just keep going on up into this part of Asia that I'm trying to go into. Does that make sense? You know, just to give you a little visual of what's going on here. You know, the Roman Empire controlled all of this land, and they had different provinces. And each of those provinces, you know, had their own government within it that was under the Roman Empire. And so the red line is their mission trip. So we've been reading, you know, as they've started and they've gone and planted churches in this different places. And so now where we last left off, they're in Antioch. And we preached about that a couple weeks ago. And now they're deciding, all right, basically their plan was, let's head up into this, what was then called Asia, which today this is all Turkey. Let's head up through here into the north part of this part here, Bithynia, that's where it mentioned. And we'll loop back around through the rest of this and come back down here. So they were planning on evangelizing to this whole area and making that loop. But as they get up here and they reach the border of where they're going to enter into Bithynia, this is right where that city is, Mysia, the border of Mysia and Bithynia. If the map was more detailed, it would have Mysia here. So this is where they get blocked. Now, we don't know if God literally said, don't go there. Or maybe something happened that created a difficulty and they concluded, all right, God must be shutting this door. So he's calling us to go somewhere else. And then the Macedonia door opens up. So then they travel. They said, hey, let's go over to Macedonia, which is Macedonia. That's the A of Macedonia. So they travel over west to Troas, where they get on a ship and sail up to Philippi, which is in the province of Macedonia. So Philippi is a city in the province of Macedonia. Is that helpful? See this visual? So they're trying to go up. They're like, hey, let's go up through this way. And then God makes it clear, no, I want you to go this way. And instead of saying, no, we want to go this way, they say, all right, God, even though we could have just gone right here, you made it clear why we were up here, so we're going to go this way now. You know, this isn't what we planned. This is maybe more work, but this is what you're saying to do, so that's what we're going to do. And what's encouraging about that is the rest of this chapter is just amazing victory after victory of what God does through them over in Philippi. And if they had said, no, God, we're sticking with our plan, who knows what would have happened. But they said, no, God, we'll stick with your plan. Then we see all these incredible things happen that we'll get to in a little bit. You know, isn't that encouraging to see that God has great plans for us? And he'll make it clear which way he wants us to go in. It's just up to us to decide, are we going to go the way God wants us to, or are we going to go the way we want to? And here's really what's at the root of all of this is, at the end of the day, you have the plans that you have for your life. You might want this career. You might have this picture in mind of what your life is going to look like this year, next year, 10 years from now. And it's good to have plans, and it's good to make plans for your life that are spiritual and godly plans, right? But underneath all of these plans for your life, the foundational plan should be whatever God's plan for your life is. And if your true plan is my plan is God's plan, then when God says, not that, this, you go, okay, well, even though my plan was that, my real plan is what you want. So this is my plan. You know, their plan was to advance the gospel for God. And they thought that the way to go was up through there. But when God said, no, I want you to go further west instead, they were like, great. That's what our real plan is to do what you want us to do, God. So we're fine with rerouting because our plan wasn't, it was to go up through there, but that's not really what it was. Our plan was just to obey and do your will. So now that it's clear that this is your will, then that's where I'm going to go instead. So, you know, we've got to be people who our root plan is God's plan. That as we make our plans for our life, your foundational plan, your root plan is, but my real plan is whatever God's plans for me are. So as he reveals them to me, that's what I'm going to do, rather than stick with my plan. Does that make sense? Yeah. Notice, I want you to think about yourself and think about whose plans are you really committed to? Are you committed to your plans, and hopefully they interline with God's? Or are you committed to God's plans and then making sure yours interline with his? You want to be committed to God's plans. God's plans will lead you to greater things. Now, before we move on, I do just want to encourage you that this does not, following God's plans doesn't mean you just sit there and plan nothing. You know, you've got to get up and you've got to live ambitiously. I mean, these guys, you look at them and they're ambitious. Jesus was ambitious. They're like, look, we got something to do. We got somewhere to go. You know, and that's what we got to be. We got to have plans for our lives, planning out what classes you're going to take to graduate on time and planning the right classes, planning on where you're going to apply for jobs after you graduate, planning on, you know, different aspects of your life and coming up with plans, spiritual plans, godly plans. But then as things unfold, always reverting back to wherever God is directing you to go. You know, so I want to encourage you, though, as you make plans for your life, to start off with them being spiritual and godly to begin with, right? Their plans were changed, but it's not like they were ungodly plans. Their plan was to go plant churches all throughout this Upper East area, right? So they had godly plans. It's just that God's godly plans were a little bit different, right? So how do you make spiritual plans? Well, I think as you're planning things, you pray about it. You pray, God, help me to be guided in the direction you want me to go in. Not just thinking about what you want, but asking God to make it clear, what does he want, you know? What else will help you to make godly plans? To refer to the scriptures, you know, to refer to the word of God. You know, God's plans for your life will never contradict his word. So if a plan that you're developing has some conflict with the word of God, then you could be sure that that's not God's plans. And then you could be sure that those are not the best plans for your life. And then you could be sure that you should go in a different direction, right? God's plans will never contradict his word. You also make spiritual plans by surrounding yourself with spiritual people who you're influenced by and who you get advice and guidance from. You know, it says Paul and his companions. You know, Paul wasn't out there doing this by himself. He had a team of people he was working with. And we've got to go through life with a spiritual team of people. Spiritual companions, people that are helping us to make godly plans and godly decisions with our lives. You know, and that's another thing I appreciate so much about Matt and Brielle throughout their relationship is just seeking counsel and advice from a lot of godly people. What should we do? Are we ready to move forward? Are we ready to, you know, and really seeking godly counsel on these things. So all of those things are going to help you to make spiritual plans. Praying and fasting about it, spiritual companionship and advice, referring to the word of God, all of these things. And one last thing I'll say that I think will really guide you to make spiritual plans is as you're developing plans, asking yourself, how would Jesus handle this situation? What would Jesus plan on doing? Right? And I think just stopping and asking that question could help us to refocus so much on who we're following in life. We're trying to be like Jesus, right? We're disciples of him. So even just asking that is going to help us to develop plans so much. So when we're developing plans, there's going to be times that they just line right up with God's plans, and then there's going to be times that those plans change or God's plans for our lives come with some challenges and opposition, right? So as you're living out God's plans, there will be times that your plans need to be changed to line up with his, and there'll also be times where you're just going to face some opposition and you've got to decide, what am I going to do here? Am I going to stick with God's plans or if I'm going to give up on it? You know, just to talk about that for a minute. You know, when God's plans that you're following, when they change or when they face some opposition, you can keep going with it, or you have the free will to choose to follow your own plans or just to quit on it. You have the choice to do that. You can say, God, you know what? I don't want to do that. I'm quitting. God, I don't want to do that. I'm doing this instead. Right, as you're trying to follow God's plans and it faces opposition or rerouting, you have the choice of following it or not, right? And you've got to know that. You've got to know that you can choose to not do what God planned for you to do. And God has a plan for people who don't follow his plans. He's not what he wants, the plans he wants you to follow, but those are the plans, you know? So you choose to follow God's good plans or not. You know, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, really challenging scripture, but listen to this. Isaiah 31 says, "Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine." forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. You know, God is saying, woe to people who don't go to me but go somewhere else. Woe to the obstinate people who carry out plans that were not my plans, and in doing so, heap sin upon sin. You know, so you can follow out plans that are not God's, and that leads to sin upon sin in your life. You know, it says woe. Woe means like sorrow or distress or troubles being brought on someone. So, you know, that's something we've got to realize, is that there's a catch-22 with this, is that as you're trying to follow God's plans and it gets hard or it's different than what you thought, if you choose not to do it, then God, who's in control of everything, is going to bring woe to your life. And the very thing you were trying to avoid, sorrows, distress, troubles, is exactly what's going to be brought on you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you're going to find the very thing that you were trying to run from if you choose not to follow God's plans and follow your own or someone else's instead. You know, just as you can know that something contradicting to God's word is not God's plan, you can know that sin is never in God's plan. Yeah. So anything that involves sinning or sin, you can know for sure, well, that's not God's plan for my life. That's not God's plan for what I should do. And you know, I think that there's definitely a correlation between us being tempted with sin and us having that battle of following God's plans versus our plans. Because when your plans fall through, aren't you very tempted to sin? Yeah. You know, when you have plans and you're hoping for some certain situation to come out and it doesn't work out, or God says, no, I actually have this plan for you instead, you could fall into the sin of bitterness. Bitterness towards God, or, you know, like, well, God, why are you letting this happen to me? And God might be testing you. Do you trust me? Are you surrendered to my plans? You know, where does your contentment come from? You know, does it come from when you were hoping to graduate, or does it come from when you are going to graduate, you know? Yeah. Where does it come from, whether you wind up dating someone one day or not, or does your contentment come from just being with me? Yeah. You know, does your contentment come from getting that career you've been hoping for your whole life? Or what if you don't? Do you get your contentment from me? You know, it's good to have those plans, but your baseline plan is be, God, what you have planned for me is what I'm going to be okay with. Yeah. And trust that that must be what is best. If God has planned for you to be single your entire life, you can thank God for that. Because if that's God's plans, then you could trust that you'll be more content and happier that way than in a relationship that God didn't have planned for you. You know, if you end up in a different career than you thought you were going to end up in, you could be content that you'll be happier with the job you have than that career. Yeah. Right? Any of these things that you plan for your life, however, as you follow God and trust Him, however it turns out, you could trust this is the best it could have been. Yeah. And you can rest on God's sovereignty in that. So I want to encourage you guys that as you're making plans, to make an alliance with God's plans, to make an alliance with His Spirit, and to not be allied with your plans or somebody else's for your life. Make your plans, but make your plans be God's plans. And as God's plans are revealed, you change your plans to be His continually. Amen? So can we go ahead and read here the rest of this chapter to see all the great things that result in them deciding, you know what, let's stick with God's plans instead of our own. You know, had they continued up into Bithynia, who knows what would have happened? Maybe they would have finally been killed. Maybe, you know, something terrible would have happened. We don't know what would have happened. But we do know what happened since they decided to reroute and follow God's plans instead. Let's read the rest of this. It says, from Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. Okay, so already there's one big thing here that if they didn't follow God's plans, would not have happened. For the first time in the book of Luke, we find the word, or the book of Acts, we find the word we. We means that the author is included in what's taking place. So up to this point, Luke, the author of Acts, has not been involved in what's going on. So somewhere between the border that they decided not to go to and ending up in Philippi, they helped Luke become a disciple. So we would not have the book, Luke wouldn't have become a Christian. We wouldn't have the Gospel of Luke. We wouldn't have the book of Acts. We wouldn't have the play Upside Down if they decided to head up north instead of following God's plans west. You know, right here is where Luke comes into the picture. And if they had stayed their way, Luke wouldn't have become a Christian. No book of Acts, no book of Luke, and all the other things that have inspired us and come from those things. Isn't that incredible? Already, it's a minor detail. You know, Luke was likely a resident of Macedonia. You know, he might have been the one praying, God, come help me in my life, that it was the vision that Paul saw that got him to come there anyway. You know, so God is working so many things behind the scenes that we've just got to trust him and go forward with it. Amen? So let's keep going here. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Once again, we see that prayer is a driving force in them being guided to God's plans. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Here's another, a whole family of people that wouldn't have become disciples if they had stayed going their way instead of following God's way. You know, and we see in these disciples here this conviction of, hey, we're on a mission. And even as we're going to pray, we're looking for open people to share with. Here's some people to talk to. They talk to him and they see Lydia and her whole family become disciples. Lydia was a prominent woman in the city. She dealt with purple linens, which was a luxury item. You know, she probably influenced so many other people in this city. And none of that would have happened had they decided to keep going their way instead of following God's plans. Her whole family has changed. Verse 16, once, this is days later, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. This is an evil spirit or a demon. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. So here you've got this girl who's possessed by a demon and who's being taken advantage of by some guys who are making money through this, right? Not a good situation to be in. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. So this girl who is demon possessed now is no longer, she's set free from the situation she's been in because they followed God's plans instead of the ones that they had set. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money, that's what they viewed her as, their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Here's another opportunity where they have to decide, okay, following God's plans is now becoming, once again, incredibly challenging. This is now the who knows how many times they've been beaten, they've been flogged for following God's plans. But they've got to decide, do we keep going? Trusting God that his plans are what's best. And of course they do. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So now they're in prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You know, talk about a spiritual response to a terrible situation. You're beaten, you're flogged, you're chained up in prison, and what are you doing? You're praying and you're singing hymns to God. And you know what? The other people in there were listening. You know, we've got to be so aware of the environment that we're in and the fact that we as disciples are representing Jesus. You know, if they chose to respond unspiritually to this situation and started cursing God, complaining, bitterness, then when they're set free, which is about to happen, maybe these people wouldn't have been so open to the gospel as we're about to see. But they were listening to them, and what they heard were people who were surrendered to God's plans. So the people in our life, as we face challenges and we face opposition and we face discouragement and difficulties and disappointments, do we respond spiritually and go, you know what? I'm going to trust God and stick through this. And do people hear and see in us spiritual responses to things maybe not going as great as we hope they would? You know, and believe God's going to do something out of this. It says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your whole household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, obviously explaining the rest of the gospel message from that, and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. You know, this man who was in the dark and immediately in a place where he was so quick to about to end his own life, within an hour is filled with joy and in the light going to heaven for eternity instead. You know, so trusting God's plans and sticking through it. You know, they're arrested and it could seem like, "God, why are you doing this to me?" Well, I'm doing this to you so that this jailer and his whole household could spend eternity with me in heaven. Yeah. And if you respond spiritually to this, if you see my plan behind it, then I can do something great through it. Right? You got to let things unfold and see what God is trying to do before you quit or go your way instead. You know, this guy's whole family was eternally altered. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent the officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those messengers." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial," which was illegal, "even though we are Roman citizens," so it's extra illegal, "and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." Bold moves right there. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. And as we're seeing now, Lydia's house had become a house church where the disciples in Philippi began to congregate as that church grew, which there wouldn't have been a church there. We wouldn't have had the letter of Philippians had they not gone this way. I mean, we just from this passage, there's so many things that we would not have happened if when God said, "Go this way instead," they said, "Oh, but it's out of the way. Oh, but we planned this instead. We don't want to do that." But they said, "All right, God, we'll go this way instead." All of these things unfold. Did it unfold smoothly? No. They ended up in prison. They ended up flogged. But they said, "God, we're sticking with your plans no matter what." And they said their lives have tremendous impact. And at the end of it, all of the physical beatings didn't matter because they received new bodies for eternity in heaven. And that is God's eternal plan for us. No matter how rough this life is, if we stick to his plan, that is at the end of his plan for all of us. Isn't that inspiring? You know, you've got to keep the right perspective on what's going on in your life. You come up with plans, come up with spiritual plans, but as things don't go according to them, or as God calls you in a different direction, or as you're following God's plans and doing the right thing, it gets hard or it faces opposition. You've got to believe this is God's plan and God's plan is best, so I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to trust God and I'm going to keep going. And as you go through challenging things, have your eye open to God. What are you trying to do through this? You know, as you're going down to pray, as you're hanging there in prison, look for God. Is there somebody that you've put here that you allowed me to be in this situation, whether it was a comfortable one or an uncomfortable one, that you want to help become a Christian through this? You know, God has eternity in mind, and he's going to put us through situations, comfortable and uncomfortable, to lead other people to him. That's what we see through Lydia. That's what we see through the jailer. So we've got to have in mind, God, maybe you're calling me in this direction or putting me through this because there's somebody in this environment or in this situation now who you want to save through me. Have your eye open for that. You know, maybe God is trying to help you grow to become more like Jesus through this hardship or this trial, through this perseverance. You know, we really quickly like to quote Romans chapter 8. Hey, all things work out for the good, right? But you got to know the rest of that scripture. You know, that scripture, first of all, doesn't apply to everybody. And that scripture also doesn't mean, hey, things are all going to turn out fine and dandy.
Right.
What that scripture is saying is for disciples, God works everything out to help you become more like Jesus. And that's the good that he's working out, is you becoming more like Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him," people who are living as disciples, focused on following his plan, "who have been called according to his purpose," being disciples. "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son." That's explaining what God's purpose for our life is, right? Those who have been called according to his purpose, discipleship, being conformed more into the likeness of Jesus, right? God's plan for your life is to help you become closer to him by becoming more like Jesus. And in all things, good situations and extremely difficult situations, the good that God is trying to bring out, the plan God has through that is to help you become more like Jesus. Right? So we've got to see, you know what? When we're going through something, we've got to stick with God's plans, because he might be using this to help someone else become a Christian, or he might be using this to help me become more like Jesus as a Christian. That's God's plans for our lives. You know? So I really want to ask you guys tonight to reflect on, whose plans are you living for? Is it your plans, or are you living for God's plans? You know, when your plans and God's plans conflict, whose do you stick with? When God calls you in a different direction than you expected, where are you going to go? When things don't go exactly as you hoped they would or what you wanted them to do, but it's clear that this is what God is doing in your life, are you going to compromise and give in to sin, or give in to a different plan and receive woe? Or are you going to stick with God's plan and find plans to prosper you, to give you hope in a future? You've got to trust God and you've got to stick with it. You know, so I want to encourage all of us tonight to make an alliance with God, to make an alliance with his Spirit. Just like Paul in his command, as he said, you know what? The Spirit made it clear. Don't go there, go here. They had an alliance with God's Spirit. That every day we have an alliance with God's Spirit as well. And we're focused on, God, reveal your plan through my life. God, let me live out your plan. And whether it's different than what I hoped or expected, or whether it's a lot tougher than I expected, I am sticking with it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's follow God's plans and allow God's plans to prevail in our life. Amen? Thank you.